It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
The Jefferson City Jays, the Blair Oaks Falcons, and the Helias Crusaders are headed to district title football games next Friday night. All three won last night in district semifinal action. First of all, at Ray Hinches Stadium, the Helias Crusaders beat Washington 49-6. At Atkins Stadium, the Jefferson City Jays over Kirksville 61-19. And on the road last night, the Blair Oaks Falcons beat Boonville by a score of 64-38. Joining us now is Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Coach, you beat Washington last night by a score of 49-6, and this was the Washington Blue Jay offense that liked to run the football, and you basically stopped that, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, Kevin. I thought defense had a great night, really all night long. Very similar to a few games we played earlier this year, very run-based offense. And we had a good week of practice, good week of, preparation. We knew what we needed to do up front. The guys did a great job wrong-arming traps and reading our keys, making sure our eyes were in the right place, and gang tackling. Our tackling was really good last night and limited them. They had a couple of big runs, but for the most part, we did an excellent job of stopping their run, forcing them to pass, something they weren't comfortable doing. And we executed our game plan defensively, which really helped us get a hold of the game really, early, and gave offense a lot of short fields. And it was just a good night.
Led by quarterback Cam Millhiser, this is a team that had, I think, over 3,500 yards on the ground heading into the ball game last night against the Crusaders. And it's not just a one-look offense either, is it?
No. They start with their fullback, and they run a lot of triple option. The quarterback likes to keep it a lot of quarterback sweeps, and so we did a really good job of setting the edge. And then inside outside pursuit, was really important last night too.
You mentioned it just a few moments ago, but you won the line of scrimmage last night, didn't you?
Well, we did. I thought as the game progressed, we dominated it more and more. Initially. They're big up front. They really are. And they're young. Washington's going to be a really good football team for years to come. They had a lot of young players there last night. I think they only played about four seniors. They're big and they're physical. But I thought our kids really rose to the occasion and matched that physicality. We talked about that all week. Stopping a run-based team that's just going to run it right at you. There's nothing pretty or fancy or tricky about that. You just have to get down and dirty in the trenches. Win your one-on-one battles, TDT. Take on the block, defeat the block, tackle the ball carrier. And that just takes a lot of heart and grit and just toughness. And, I thought we matched their physicality last night and did a great job of, executing the game plan.
You had a big first half, 42-0 Crusaders at halftime.
Yeah, we did. And, again, like I said, a lot of short fields. And, we had a lot of big plays, a lot of penalties. Last night was our worst night as far as penalties. Some of them were, really just silly things. And, a lot of them, because we had a lot of success on the perimeter, they called a lot of holds on us last night out on the perimeter. And, I had some discussions with the officials, in most of those holds, our hands were inside. We were dominating the block, and we work on that a lot, as a perimeter run team. We want to be good with our edge blocking. But some drives it killed us. Some drives we were able to overcome it. But overall, the execution was good. We had a lot of screenplay touchdowns again to Harrison Miller and to Caden Hampson, where our line did a great job of getting downfield and blocking. And speed option was a really good play for us last night. Ryan Clark had two big speed option touchdowns. He had 11 carries for 180 yards. Did a great job. Carson Browner scored a short touchdown for us, and we had a good pass play to Cole Stumpy, which was, our best pass play of the night. And we scored our last touchdown in the third quarter on defense when Tyler Sambody ripped the ball from their quarterback, and kind of reminiscent of what Bo Bondurant did a few weeks ago. And Tyler ripped it out of his hands and took it in for a touchdown. And, when you have the mercy clock going, the second half goes really, really fast. I think we were done with that football game by about 9:20. So it was a quick second half.
And you go back to the third quarter and Tyler Sambody's touchdown on defense for you. It really wasn't a scoop and score, was it?
No. He took it right out of his hands. And we didn't know there was a pile of people there, and we the quarterback, and he was still on his feet. And Tyler, you know, before they blew the ball dead, Tyler ripped it out of his hands. And next thing we know, he's coming out of the pile with the football going the other direction.
I want to talk to you about a point you made just a couple of moments ago about a couple of penalties and talking to the official. Sometimes it's important to get some dialogue with that official to see how they're calling that and why they're calling that.
Yeah. And you know, and I talked to the official on our side, and I said, you know, we coach it that way. We coach hands inside, and it's philosophically, I guess, a little different. The way some officials view that. I mean, I understand if your hands are outside the frame and you're holding on the shoulder pads and you're tugging and pulling, but, you know, when you win the battle of hands, and that's a lot of blocking, you know, who gets inside position. And, you know, we do a really good job of that. And I told the officials and said, we work on that every day in practice. That's a point of emphasis. Our hands are inside. We're controlling. We're driving feet. And it looks like, gosh, you're really holding that guy. But really, we're just dominating those guys, dominating those edge blocks. And it seemed like, you know, we had a stretch there in the second quarter. It seemed like just every time we were out on the perimeter running and really having good edge blocks, they were calling holdings. You know, and I guess that's how their crew wanted to interpret it. And, you know, we have to adjust to that during the course of a game. You know, we had more holding calls last night than we have the entire season. But, you know, so we were able to overcome them. You know, we would have a big play, a penalty, and come back. And for the most part, we were able to keep the drives going. It was just one of those nights. And like I said, it was a good conversation with the officials. You know, it's just difference in philosophy. And some crews will view that differently than others.
Let's talk about a couple of things again with regards to the first half. Big first half for Ryan Clark running the football for you. Drew Miller had three touchdown passes to three different receivers. And you get a couple of touchdowns on fourth down plays.
Yeah. When we get to that midfield area, you know, I'll tell Coach Rockers, our offensive coordinator, I'll tell him, I said, hey, you've got four downs to get this. And, you know, that changes some, you know, standard play calling, as I guess you could say. And, you know, we're confident, you know, in situations where, heck, you know, if it's fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three, we feel like we have a good play. And we're past midfield, we're going to go for that. And our execution on fourth down was really good last night. You know, we were able to pick up, you know, some critical first downs, which popped into big plays and ended up getting touchdowns. So that's always great when you see that happen. And like I said, you know, touchdown to three different receivers. And that first touchdown was really, I do want to talk about that a second. Harrison Miller, we ran a little screen pass coming from our sideline. And that ball was tipped.
Mm-hmm.
That ball was tipped by a D lineman, and it threw it off of its trajectory. And Harrison did a great job of just keeping his eyes on the ball, making a really great catch, and then doing something, you know, pretty special with it once he got it. And you know, that was always good to get on the board. And I thought that because our first drive ended up with a three and out, and we hate that, but it was just some poor execution on our part. We didn't get that first drive going. But it was important for us because the defense got their second stop in a row. That second drive, we needed something to happen, and that was a really big play. And we just kind of got the ball rolling after that.
Saw some tape from the ball game last night. The Caden Hampson touchdown reception of 36 yards did a nice job once he caught the ball.
Yeah, exact same play, other side that we had scored with Harrison. We came back to the left side with just a little tunnel screen, and he did a great job catching. We did a great job of getting downfield and throwing our blocks. And he did a great job of reading those blocks. And, you know, he's an excellent runner with the ball once he gets it.
Next up is Holt, a trip for you to Wentzville to take on the Indians. They're undefeated on the season at 10-0. You have won 9 in a row. You were 9-1. This ought to be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, Kevin, it really should be. You know, I had the opportunity. You know, our offensive staff, you know, they kind of focused on this week's game. And oftentimes I look ahead to the opponent that's coming, and I've had a chance to look at a lot of Holt defensive tape and look at some of their offense as well. And I know that all the coaches stayed up last night, and you know, this morning we're gonna watch the game from last night just a little bit with the boys, but we want to look ahead to our next opponent and get the boys a sneak preview. But my immediate impressions of Holt are they are really solid in all three phases. They have a lot of athletes. They're very fast, very physical. You know, they're 10-0 for a reason. You know, they're a really, really good football team. And, we're going to have to execute at a really high level next week we talked to the boys about, you know, what's ahead and what this means. You know, obviously a district championship is meaningful at any class, at any level, at any time. But, you know, we're attempting to do something that no football team has ever done at Helias, and that's win a Class 5 district championship. So we've won a lot of Class 3s. We won a lot of Class 4 district titles. But the situation the way it is with the championship factor, now we're bumped up to Class 5. So we have a chance to do something that no football team at Helias has ever done. And I know our boys will be ready for the challenge. We're excited about the challenge. You know, we always play good on the road. We're not afraid of going on the road to Wentzville. We know they're a great football team. We're going to have a great week of practice, and so we're going to be ready to go.
Holt last night beat Columbia Battle at home 48-12. They forced 4 battle turnovers, and they sacked Spartan quarterback Justin Goolsby 5 times in the ball game. Ethan Place, the head football coach for Holt, talks about his defense being a defense that has great speed. And last night in the ball game, quarterback Cooper Brown, 3 TD passes, 178 yards. Let's talk about him for just a second. He's a senior, 6'3", 200 pounds. He has thrown a total of 202 passes heading into the ball game last night and completing 75% of his passes for just over 2,500 yards, 35 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And that's an incredible stat. I mean, anytime you get a high school quarterback that's throwing a 75% completion rate, or any quarterback at any level, that's really fantastic. And he is a great decision maker. He's a great athlete. He's been a multi-year starter for them. He's what really makes them go offensively. But they have very athletic receivers, a great running back, a big experienced offensive line, made that comment about their defense. Their defense is vast and physical. And those were probably the two things that stuck out in my mind when I look at them on tape is, man, what a fast defense athletically. Washington was really big up front last night. Holt won't be quite as big, but they're so much faster. We're going to have to execute really well, you know, and contain that quarterback. It's going to be our biggest challenge of the season. No offense to Hannibal in week 1. I think Holt's going to be the best team that we've played all year.
Running back over 1,000 yards on the season. He had 226 yards last night in the win over Battle. Favorite receivers, Jackson Smith, 65 catches for 731 yards heading into the ball game last night.
Yeah, yeah. So they have 3 really dangerous weapons, offensively. But like I said, they're a complete football team. They 2 platoon. They don't have any 2-way starters. It's going to be a really tough test for us. But like I said, we're excited about the challenge, and we know we're going to have to stop the run, stop the pass, be very disciplined defensively. Really be complete and efficient on special teams. And, usually when you get games like this, it's big plays. It's big plays, it's turnovers, it's things that will really make a difference. We're going to have to be really, really on point in all 3 phases.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night. We will see you in Wentzville for Helias Crusaders football on KWOS.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Again, 10-0 is the mark for Holt. They have victories over Timberland, 27-20, beat Francis Howe, 42-32, and beat Troy Buchanan, 28-24. Holt is averaging 48 points a game, giving up 13. Crusaders head into the ball game on Friday night, averaging 39 points a game while giving up just 12 points a ball game. 6:30 with our pregame show, 7:00 with the play-by-play. District title game from Wentzville, the Helias Crusaders against the Holt Indians. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
I'm Brenda Connor, identity theft victim.
No, I'm Brenda Connor.
Too bad it's hard to tell which Brenda is real.
That's what you think. I've got LifeLock to monitor my info and alert me to potential identity threats. And if I become a victim, they help fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help protect what's mine. How about that, Brenda? Thought so.
Join LifeLock by Norton and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code NEWS. Did you know that you might be overpaying for your prescriptions? It's okay, because there's an easy, convenient solution. Check GoodRx. GoodRx lets you compare prices at different pharmacies and shows you where to get the lowest price. Here's Joe, a doctor and GoodRx customer.
I was able to look up some medicines that I was going to get, and it saved me a good amount of money.
GoodRx is helping millions of people, and it can help you too, for simple, smart savings. Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance. In 2020, GoodRx users saved an average of 79% off retail prices. Individual compensated for their time. Visit GoodRx.com/radio to learn more.
When it's time to replenish your landscaping mulch, decorative rock, pool sand, screen topsoil, or driveway rock, your wallet and your back both cringe at the idea of buying and moving multiple bags of the stuff. But both will breathe a sigh of relief when you get it in bulk by the truckload from Capital Sand Company. Delivered anywhere in JC for just $50, saving time, money, and your back. On Facebook and at CapitalSandCompany.com.
Capital Sand Company just makes sense.
This is Phil Freeman. When I think about this year being 60 years in business for Freeman Mortuary, the word that comes to mind is proud. How proud I am to be a part of the Jefferson City community. How proud my father would be to see a third generation of the Freeman family operating our business. Funerals have changed a lot over the years, but what hasn't changed is our compassion and commitment to serving our families.
For three generations, creating meaningful ceremonies as unique as your loved one since 1961. FreemanMortuary.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
The Jefferson City Jays are headed to a district title game on Friday night up in Hannibal against the Hannibal Pirates. Last night in the semifinals at Atkins Stadium, the Jefferson City Jays defeat the Kirksville Tigers by a score of 61-19. And joining us is Jays head football coach Damon Wells. First of all, congratulations on the win, coach.
Thanks so much.
You know, let's talk about the phrase. You talked about it in the pregame show, seven more days. Talk about that.
That's right. That's something that has been with us for, man, quite some time. I believe as long as the kids are the focal point, that high school football is about as good of a thing as there is. And the reason we do what we do is we genuinely enjoy our time with them. I don't think there's a finer place for a young man to be than on the football field after school in the fall. So during this time of the year, we've always kind of grasped onto that mantra that we want to work hard and do everything we can to be successful, because every time we are, then we get to spend seven more days together. So last week we told them that our goal was just to get seven more days together, and we got it. And that's going to be the same goal this week.
On the pregame show last night, you talked about, I asked you, what did you do on the week off? You said we worked on tackling and we worked on blocking. Let's take both of those for just a moment in regards to the game last night. First of all, tackling, I thought your team did very well in open space.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you even added that caveat in open space. I think that's truly the key. I thought we tackled. It was easily our best tackling performance of the year. We chart missed tackles. We make cut up of all the missed tackles, so we can try to focus on that and hone in on exactly what's not right. But, you know, Kirksville had some athletes, and I thought our boys did really well to tackle in space last night.
There were two plays in particular when we look at that concept of tackling that I go to from last night's ball game. One was a swing pass out from the quarterback Isaac Danielson to Randon Baumgartner. He tries to give a little ground to spin and get away from David Bethune, who's out there on an island right in front of you on the sidelines, and he makes the sure tackle. The other one, a swing pass to the opposite side of the field, and up comes Kevion Pendleton, and he stops the wide receiver after he catches the ball right in his tracks.
Yeah, and we told, it was a point of emphasis, we told our kids that they're going to complete some passes. But as long as they complete a pass and get tackled where they are, we can live with that. We just can't give up a pass completion and then miss a tackle and then turn it into something bigger than what it is. So, yeah, you know, and I think that's part of the importance of having stability in a staff. We were trying to get to know everybody's name. So, you know, we would much rather be working on blocking and tackling than trying to figure out what's what and even, you know, where the equipment room is, for goodness sake.
All right, let's talk about blocking, because I thought your offensive line, again, did a great job. And I thought I was impressed and thought that your wide receiver and your tight end coming to the edge and helping spring people like Kevion Pendleton and Zane Wings and David Bethune further downfield. They did a great job at the edge blocking as well.
There's no doubt, and I think that just enforces what I've said before, that everything we do is predicated on having some pretty selfless young men. I've been pretty blessed over the last couple of decades in that we've had great boys. I don't know what we would ever do if I ever had or we ever had people that started talking about number of carries and number of yards and touchdowns and things like that. We just do what we do. And again, like you said, having young men out in space that are willing to block downfield for others, that's huge. That's fantastic.
We're going to talk some of the details as far as scoring is concerned in just a moment. I need to ask you about the ice water bath at the end of the ball game with the temperatures being about 43 degrees outside.
It was, you know, it was funny that whenever they did it, you know, that's just a neat deal. And people kept asking, are you cold? And I said, no, I'm not cold right now because, you know, you got the emotions flowing. But after about 15 minutes and I was still standing out there, I did tell my wife, I said, okay, I think I'm officially getting cold now. We got to go.
First year's head football coach, of course, new with the players, players new with the system. That must have been a special moment, though, with the ice bath at the end of the game.
It was pretty neat. And I think that's just a manifestation, a representation of the joy that the boys are finding in all the sacrifice that they've made.
Always great to get off to a great start at the beginning of a football game. You got the opening kickoff, and you go 62 yards in 9 plays, get on the board with 8:08 left to go in the opening quarter, march right down the field. You opened up with a pass on the first play from scrimmage.
Yeah, and we can spin it well enough whenever we feel like that's the right thing to do. So we threw the ball a few times last night. That first drive, like you said, 9 plays, 62 yards, that's maybe a little more difficult than we hoped it would be, a little more challenging. But just like we tell our boys, everybody's good in the playoffs. Nobody's here by accident. So there aren't going to be a lot of easy pathways.
You know, as far as the passing game is concerned, I thought a good pass last night from Hayden Wells to Kevion Pendleton. And boy, he snapped that out of the air and took it downfield, didn't he?
He absolutely did. And again, that's a constant point of emphasis in practice. And, you know, against Battle, it really saved us. And then last night, I thought we threw the ball when we wanted to do that.
You had a huge first quarter, led 26-7 after one, and again, you open up the scoring on your first drive of the ballgame, first drive of the football game, and get the 6-0 lead. Then your defense with a couple of turnovers back-to-back. It's one thing to get turnovers. It's another to make the team pay for those turnovers, and you did by scoring 2 more touchdowns.
No doubt. You know, again, winning the turnover battle was not something we were doing at the beginning of the year, so I think that's one important metric that's helped us as of late. So, yeah, again, that's something we work on. We worked on that extensively in the bye week. So, again, it's good to see what you practice actually work out, because it doesn't really matter if some adults write it on a practice schedule. You got to get kids to buy in and believe, and they have to embrace it, and perhaps most importantly, be able to execute.
Those two defensive possessions for your football team, Ethan Garnett involved with both of them. First one, first play from scrimmage for the Kirksville Tigers, the snap over the quarterback's head, and the football is recovered by Ethan Garnett at the Kirksville Tiger 27-yard line. One play drive, and you're on the board again, lead 13-0. Then they get the ball back, starting from their own 32. It's an interception by Jacob Wilson and a return to the Kirksville Tiger 23-yard line. But again, it's Ethan Garnett among those Jays putting pressure on the quarterback and making him throw off balance, and the pick in the middle of the field for Wilson.
Yeah, our defensive staff, we made a little bit of a change and flipped a couple kids around. And I think it's really proven incredibly beneficial for those two young men, Ethan Garnett and Jacob Wilson. But mostly, Ethan and Jacob are just great boys. They never miss a thing. They're incredibly hard workers. They're tough. And again, just like so many of them, one's a sophomore, one's a junior.
And we talked about the offensive line and the job that they did last night. Of course, Zane Wings and David Bethune and Kevion Pendleton ran the ball very well for you in the ball game. But I tell you what, I was impressed with the quarterback last night. Hayden Wells, I thought, executed your offense very well last night at that quarterback position.
There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that I'm not going to talk about. But he, on one level, he makes the whole thing go. And again, you're right that he operated it. He made it go. He controls the huddle. So again, pretty proud of him.
He had over 515 yards of total offense in the ballgame. We had you for 470 yards rushing in the contest. Kevion Pendleton had an outstanding night last night. He scored 6 touchdowns, and again, up the middle, there were people trying to tackle him high, and he would just bounce off or run over Kirksville Tiger defenders. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I'd rather do than try to tackle Kevion Pendleton in open space.
Yeah, and he didn't play offense for us the first 3 games of the season. So, again, that should be an indication of, you know, my coaching eye, that we didn't have Kevion really penciled in as much of the part of the plan offensively. But again, you know, things work out, and if he doesn't embrace it, then it doesn't matter. And he did, and the boys believe. The conversation and the dialogue is probably the biggest change between now and the beginning of the year. Like, kids hold each other accountable. Whenever it's time to get the business in the huddle on Friday nights, kids police it and say that, hey, he's getting ready to talk. Well, let's be quiet now. Things like that. The kids understand, like, the feedback. I want feedback from the field. And we get that. So it's been a joy.
Big football game on Friday night, district title, and the Jefferson City Jays against the Hannibal Pirates. You met in week 2. Pirates win that game by a score of 40-13. But in fact, you take a look at their 10-0 record, and 40 points scored against the Jays is the fewest amount of points that the Pirates have scored all season long. This is a very good football team that you'll face in a second opportunity for the Jays.
Yeah, I don't know that there are any weaknesses. They're good. They're incredibly talented. They have a great scheme. Their kids play hard. I'm not 100% sure how in the world we're going to pull this off, but we have from now until Friday to work from dusk till dawn and try to figure it out.
And you're a football team. It's very different today than it was back in week 2 of the high school football season. No question about that.
Well, somebody asked that, and I think that, well, we're in it. I've been with these boys every single day for months now, and so sometimes it's hard for me to see that type of big picture. I just know they're a joy to be around, and I know that the relationships are so much deeper. And like I said, the vocabulary and the dialogue is awesome. Like, it's football, but it's about everything else. I don't know how to quantify that any better than to say that it's the relationships. Part of the reason why I love the Weber Center is when we sit in the coach's office, you can hear everything the kids are saying out there. And the conversation out there is different. Everything. They're different people, it seems like.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck Friday night against the Hannibal Pirates. Appreciate your time this morning.
Of course, and thank you so much. Go Jays.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells. Again, they will head to Hanwell to take on the Pirates. Pirates will enter the game with a mark of 10-0. They beat Warrenton last night 76-6. They finished the regular season 9-0, obviously. 8th time in Hannibal's 125-year history that they went undefeated in the regular season. We talk about their offense and how potent it is. The quarterback is Cortland Watson, and of course, Aeneas Williams, an outstanding threat on offense for the Hannibal Pirates. But it's their defense that has 7 all-conference players on it from the North Central Missouri Conference. This is a series, Jefferson City against Hannibal, series that goes all the way back to 1958, and they have met before in postseason play, the Jays and the Pirates hooking up in 1988 and again in 1989, victories for the Jefferson City Jays over the Pirates. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Hi, I'm Rich Eisterhold with Three Rivers Electric Cooperative. Trees add beauty and charm to our local communities, but overgrown trees, brush, and vines near cooperative equipment can be dangerous if they come in contact with power lines. They can also cause disruptions to your electric service. That's why we regularly trim and clear vegetation in right-of-ways, which are the paths that power lines take to get to your home or business. Keeping our local right-of-ways clear improves service reliability for you, our member. To learn more about us, visit our website at threeriverselectric.com.
If there's a new pole barn, house, or shop in your future, Frontier Metal should be your only stop. Frontier Metal has all the building supplies you'll need. They fabricate metal so you can get the exact pieces you need. The Frontier Metal family was raised in the metal business and will get it right the first time. They even have their own lumber yard.
Hi, I'm Jerry Martin from Frontier Metal. Frontier Metal, your new frontier in building materials off Highway 52 in Versailles and at frontiermetal.biz.
Finding the right job means finding something you're passionate about, a job that fits your skills, experience, and interests. And if you're looking to land something local, log on to MinMoHires.com, punch in job keywords, and browse tons of companies and categories for the newest openings and find the perfect position for you. The easiest way to get your new job is MinMoHires.com. Start your search today. Great local companies hiring great local people. MinMoHires.com.
Vaughn Pools believes in crystal clear water. When it comes to caring for your spa, trust in the wide range of BioGuard's proven Spa Guard products. With an array of products designed to create the most economical, efficient, and convenient systems available, the difference is clear. That's what makes Vaughn Pools your local Spa Guard dealer, the true spa care specialist in your neighborhood. They're always willing and able to assist at a moment's notice, and that's the hallmark of a true Spa Guard specialist. See the difference at your local Vaughn Pools and Spas today.
Shop MidMo.com. Savings just a click away.
Get up to 50% off products and services you use all the time. Discounted gift certificates from outstanding local businesses like Club Car Wash, CC City Broiler, Beauty and Beyond, and more. Save time, save money. Just a click away at
ShopMidMo.com. ShopMidMo.com.
Batteries Plus Bulbs wants to remind you it's not only time to change your clocks, but it's important to check all the batteries as well. The end of daylight savings time is Sunday, November 7th, and this is your cue to change the batteries in your smoking carbon monoxide detectors to keep your family safe. While you're at it, you might change the batteries in your TV remote, garage door openers, thermostat, security system, and anything else you can think of. Batteries Plus Bulbs has everything you need. BatteriesPlus.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Congratulations to former Jefferson City Jay and Missouri Tiger Charlie Brown, who will be inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame next Sunday in ceremonies up in St. Louis. A three-sport athlete, Brown graduated from Jefferson City in 1963 after earning Scholastic Coach Magazine All-American honors in football, all-conference in basketball, and he set numerous track records. Once again, congratulations to Charlie Brown, as he will be inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame in St. Louis during ceremonies next Sunday, November the 14th. Cross-country state championships continue today in Columbia, and joining us is Blair Oaks Falcons cross-country coach Mark Keyes. And, Coach, you take a look at it, and it's the Gans Creek course, and you're familiar with this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We've been there a couple times this year. It's a wonderful course. We're excited to run there today, and the weather's going to be fantastic.
How much does it mean to know the course going into the championships?
I think it makes a big difference, and not only just knowing the course, but just knowing where all the stuff is, where you set up your tents, where to go, how to check in. I think if it's your first time there, it can be a little daunting with all the athletes and all the spectators.
All right, your team will have its race this afternoon at 1:30. Give us a little bit of an agenda as far as when you'll go over and how you'll get set up for this.
Well, we'll leave from high school around 11, and it'll take about 30 minutes to get there, and there'll be a little bit of traffic, and we'll get our tent set up, we'll get our numbers on, and get some water, get some snacks, and practice being nervous, and get ready to go. We've done this before, so they're going to do a good job.
All right, with temperatures expected to be, I'd say in the mid-60s at race time at 1:30 this afternoon, temperature-wise, is that good? A little warmer?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Well, I think it'll be good. It's been cool, so we're sort of used to cool. But know, everyone runs in the same temperature, but it's a good race temperature to run a 5,000 meters.
When you take a look at this Gans Creek course, what's its signature? What's it like as far as the course is concerned, the layout?
They've got you do a 2-kilometer loop, then you do a 3-kilometer loop, and it's really nice. It's really spectator friendly, so you pretty much have people yelling and screaming the whole time. So I think that's a real benefit. It's fairly flat. There's a few hills on the second lap, but I think that's what makes it a good course. It's a little bit difficult, spectator friendly, but it's still a lot of fun.
All right, the Blair Oaks Falcons, one of, I believe, 16 teams that are vying for the Class 3 team state title. This one's up for grabs, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any real clear superstar team. I think any one of 8 teams could win the thing, and I think we're one of those 8 teams. Certainly look at the 4 district winners as being favorites, and we're only a couple points behind Father Tolton for second place, so I think we're going to be in the mix today.
Is there anyone that's a slight favorite?
I would say probably Herculaneum and Maryville would be my picks for the top two, if I'm not picking my own team.
All right, congratulations. A second place finish at districts last week in Lynn, and you almost won the district title, didn't you?
We did. We're really close, so it's a little bit disappointed, but we knew we had another race to go, so there's a chance for redemption.
Talk to me for just a minute as far as the mindset going into the state cross-country championships today for the Blair Oaks Falcons, with the fact that it has been a great fall sports season over at Blair Oaks. Last Saturday, a softball state championship for Coach Sharon Bushjost and the Lady Falcons, and then yesterday, the first ever state volleyball championship for the Lady Falcons and Coach Megan Dessler. So you take a look at it, and you've had a great sports season. There's got to be a lot of momentum going into this state championship today.
Oh, absolutely. Sort of the pressure's on with the coaching staff at Blair Oaks. The expectations are high, and it's exciting to see all these state championships. It's our success in sports has been commonplace, but we sort of need to realize that that's not a typical thing. So just enjoy it. I think our athletes are going to enjoy today, and football team's doing well too. So we hope to continue with cross country and do well.
All right, let's spend a moment. Tell me about your team that'll compete today.
We've got 3 really good seniors. Got Levi Frisby, Thomas McCauley, and Nick Stover. They've been pretty much the team for the last 3 years. And at the beginning of the year, we had 2 sophomores that they ran last year at the state meet as freshmen, and they did well. And they've really come on this late in the season, and they're getting close to our top 3. And if we can get our 2 sophomores to be within 30 or 40 seconds of our seniors, we're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, you have good senior leadership on this team, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's essential with training in the off season and just during the season, being very encouraging, pushing when you can and setting an example for the younger kids just to show how hard you have to work to have success.
We know you're busy, but I want to ask you one more question before we let you go. When you take a look at this today, what's the number one key for your team?
I think our number one key for some of our top kids not to go out too fast and be a little bit controlled. Not let the moment overwhelm them. It's easy to get too excited. And I think for our sophomores, try not to do too much. Just do what you've done the last couple weeks, and everything will be great.
Coach, we appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today in Columbia.
Oh, thank you very much, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons cross-country coach Mark Keyes, again, one of 16 teams, the Blair Oaks Falcons, in that Class 3 team title. Over in Columbia, Gans Creek course is the venue. The Class 3 race will begin at 1:30 this afternoon again in Columbia. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
That's one small step for man.
We've come a long way from 3 channels to a golden age of content. Today, the average American household has at least 1 connected TV, and they consume 54 hours of streaming per month. That's a lot of eyes and a lot of potential customers. Take one small step today and watch your business take a giant leap tomorrow. Fuse 32. There's nothing we can't do.
Have you felt exhausted in the evening and said to yourself, "Put up with it, I'm just getting older"? Well, you may be wrong. Being so exhausted in the evening that you just want to stay put is not normal, and it's likely you're suffering from a vein condition. I'm Dr. Michael Ryan with Missouri Vein Care, and vein treatments help get rid of fatigue and exhaustion, which are the most common symptoms of a vein condition that I see. Schedule a free vein screening with Missouri Vein Care. We're ready to get you back to normal. Schedule now at MissouriVeinCare.com.
Here today with Kevin Schwartzer, a mortgage loan officer from Hawthorne Bank. Kevin, lots of people may be thinking about buying a new home or refinancing their current one. Why don't you tell us how you can help with that at Hawthorne Bank?
When buying a house, it's scary. You know, especially for young people, first-time homebuyers. It's a lengthy process, or it can be. We pride ourselves on customer service and taking that initiative to just be by your side through the whole process, from beginning to end and even afterwards.
That was Kevin Schwartzer of Hawthorne Bank. NMLS number 450139. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Going that extra mile. Anymore, it's rare to get the first mile out of people, let alone the extra one. It really makes me appreciate Speedy Bee's convenience store. As if it ain't enough, they give you fresh burgers made to order, the cleanest bathrooms, and the coldest beer. Every one of their locations offers daily lunch specials, fresh made. That says extra mile to me, but maybe they don't keep track. Maybe they just enjoy the journey. Speedy Bee's. Fresh burgers, cold beer, clean bathrooms. Find Speedy Bee on Facebook.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Last night in Class 3 District 5 action, in the semifinals, the Blair Oaks Falcons over Boonville 64-38. Mexico beat Eldon 50-19. It sets up a district title game in Mexico on Friday night as the Falcons will meet the Bulldogs. And joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Last night, again, a victory for the Falcons in Boonville 64-38. That's a tough place to play and win, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I really told our players I'm incredibly proud of them. You know, to go up there the last time, be as young as we are, go into that environment and lose, and then have to go back there. A lot of teams, when they go back to a certain environment, don't react real well. We did not do that. We came out, played with extreme passion, played with the really good intensity, attacked the football, got some turnovers early, changed the course of the game, and allowed us to really be in a position to kind of do the things we wanted to do and dictate the tempo. But my hat's off to our players. I'm really proud of them. I told them that after the game. Incredible, incredible effort and incredible improvement since week four.
Two pretty good quarterbacks on the football field last night, wasn't it?
Well, there's a good – I would say both quarterbacks are extremely good, but, you know, there's one that's pretty special on our sidelines. I'm going to be pretty prejudiced about that. He can do a lot of things. You know, he had three touchdown passes along with, I think, three rushing touchdowns. Their QB is a heck of a runner, but when it comes to throwing the football, he can't be in our guys' league, you know. So I really take our hat off to our guy. That's not disrespecting our guy, but our guy can really get it done.
Talk to me about practice this week with the fact that Boonville had the victory earlier in the year and you get a second opportunity to take on the Pirates. What was the mindset?
It started Saturday morning. The week before, we played Osage back-to-back, and the whole mantra of the week was, we have to get better than they are. How much more can we improve than them? And so when we came in last Saturday morning, and before I even got on the radio with you, I talked with the coaches and said, we're going to keep that same mindset because we are, again, six sophomores still starting on defense with a freshman starting. If we try to get too much anger or too much, oh, this is revenge, I think that's going to backfire on us because with young players, you never know how they can react. So it was, can we improve more? And we never varied off of that mantra last week, who's going to improve more? Boonville or us, and our players took a challenge to that. And we even heard them talking about it through the week. You know, we got to get better than what we were the first week, and we got to improve more than they were. So at practice, a lot of it was going over things they had done. We had some certain tendencies that we really felt good about. As teams do, they evolve with their offense and defense, so they made some adjustments also. But most of it was based off what we had saw the first time, really trying to key in and be a little bit more disciplined. It may not sound like if I given up 37 points, but we played some tremendous defense last night, 232 yards rushing, but I think the first time we played, they had over 400. We really held some lanes down. They got a couple on us. One was a jet sweep that was an unbalanced, that was actually an illegal set. It wasn't an unbalanced set, but, you know, that's high school football. Sometimes they're going to get away with that. Ended up being about a 70-yard touchdown run. An extremely talented young group of young men on Boonville. Outside of Cardinal Ritter and Luther North, St. Mary's maybe, I don't know if there's any team in the state that has as much talent as they do on the Class 3 level.
You know, and your approach probably this week was, hey, this game Friday night is the one that counts.
Well, we came back from Hallsville, and that was a really game-changing game for us. And we played well enough to win, and it was just like a miracle we got beat. And that Saturday morning, I told the team, you know, there's a reason why we're playing all these games. I can't answer it, but I said that if you'll keep faith, we'll stay the course. We're going to be okay because we've been in some environments now this year. We've been in two environments, and we're young, and everybody's bringing their best. They're all senior dominated. When it comes to playoff time, we're going to have to win one on the road. And that was the first thing everybody was talking about last Saturday was, this is the reason we went on the road all those times. And I would concur with that there was a reason we went on the road and did it, and we just continued to go and play. And we talked about during the week, football field is the same size, same distance. And those fans are there just to see you just as much as they are the other team. They want to see Blair Oaks, so go perform.
All right, last Friday night you shut out Osage 53-0. You played pretty good defense again last night, didn't you?
We did. I really felt good about it. We had a defensive score. We had a multitude of sacks. We created three turnovers. They have three receivers that can game break you at any point. They got a running back can game break you at any point, and they've got a quarterback can game break you at any point. So you're going to give up some yards. We understood that. We just didn't want to give up the easy one. We gave the easy one up at the first play of the second half. But outside of that, we made them earn. And it was really important. We had a three-score lead, and they were driving the ball late in the game, and they are a traditionally slow-paced, no-huddle offense that likes to run with their three running backs and then get the ball out on bubble screens to their athletes. And they were taking 25 to 35 seconds to call plays. So when you're running the football, they took 3.5 minutes off the clock for us and weren't scoring. And you know, we were okay with them getting 4 and 5 yards because if you're going to do that run by three scores, you aren't going to catch us.
Is there anything such as a slow-paced, no-huddle offense?
Yes, they are. it gets our kids out of focus a little bit because we go so fast and we practice so fast like that. Our players will be sitting there waiting, and they look, and that 40-second clock runs down. And it's about 12 to 10 seconds before they get the play in. So there is a rhyme or reason to it, but you know, last night you can't run that offense when you're down by two or three scores late in the third and fourth quarters.
You mentioned Dylan here with three touchdown passes last night. I think they were to three different receivers, one to Zach Harrigan. We saw that a lot last week in the School of the Osage game. Also a touchdown pass to Alec Weberg and one to Adam Hall, and Hall wide open in the middle of the field with his touchdown reception.
Eye candy play. We really like it. It's a jet motion play where he got lost, got wide open. Hard ball to throw because he was running behind the secondary wide open. Dylan put it right on the money. It looked like a dart going to him. Adam has been working his tail off, caught the ball really cleanly, coasted into the end zones. He had a couple other big catches for us, as did Alec Weaver, as did Zach Harrigan. But last night, we also, our fourth receiver, Will Libert, scored on a rushing touchdown. So all four of our skilled athletes on the edges touched the ball and scored last night. That really makes for a very potent offense when you got number one. And also, Caden Garber ran his heart out last night. That was a tremendous thing for us, is how hard he's running. So we really have, you know, the six different guys that can touch the ball and put it in the end zone at any point in time. So we're really, really hard to stop. We know that. Last night we got really conservative in the third and fourth quarter because we just didn't want to give the ball back. And I kept telling Coach Briggs, be patient and run the ball. We were running for 6 and 8 a pop, so just keep running it and keep working the clock. And we did, and ended up being just a tremendous effort out of all of our players.
You said eye candy play. Explain that a little bit, eye candy play.
Well, being as young as we are, we get to see a lot. What we do is we run motions, and the motions mean absolutely nothing. You're trying to get the defense to look to see where the motion is going, and you're running a play that has nothing to do with the motion. So we're trying to get their eyes off of their landmarks and into a look where they, as one where we scored with Will Libert, we brought him in motion, handed the ball off to him. The play we ran for a touchdown to Adam Hall was the same exact play, except for we have everything look exactly the same. Dylan puts the ball in his belly, shuffles two steps back, and we run Adam actually looks like he's going to block on the linebacker, and then he just runs up the hash. And the safety who's covering, they're in man coverage, his eyes directly, when he went down to block the inside backer, his eyes went directly into the backfield to chase Will. And you can see it on film. He just turns around and looks, and it's like, uh-oh. So that's what I mean by eye candy.
All right, your defense seals the game for you last night. Tell me about it.
It was one of those where Coach Butler said he was going to run a certain blitz. And again, we're late in the game. I was a little hesitant. I'm like, hey, hey. He goes, Coach, you told me to be aggressive. I'm like, all right, go get it. Brady Kerperin, who has really had some struggles at times this year, this game played like we thought he was capable of playing, and he really played well. He came off the edge. Their quarterback, Caden, was looking. He's a right-hand quarterback, so he came off from our defensive right, his left. We had a rush at his face, so he stepped back. When he stepped back, Brady just hit him, knocked the ball loose, and then the person that was causing the pressure from the front side was Bryson Varner, a freshman, and really going to be a heck of a high school football player. Ball came out, he scooped it and scored. So when that happened, that put us over the 60 mark. But at the same standpoint, that was a sophomore and a freshman making a play against a state-ranked team that at their place where we had lost before. And that just thrilled me to no end because, man, they could have lost a lot of faith a long time ago. They really could have lost a lot of faith, those young guys. But they've continued to stay the course. Our coaches have done just an incredible job of staying with them also. And last night they executed the play and finished the game for us.
All right, district title game on Friday night at Mexico against the Bulldogs. They're 8-2 on the season. Took a look at some tape with regards to the Bulldogs, and they are very deliberate as far as their offense is concerned. I mean, they basically are in the huddle. They come up to the line of scrimmage. I mean, they're going to try to slow the pace of this game down.
And we appreciate that. One of the things that I got raised on in this game was running wishbone offense and running triple options. So this morning as we're watching film, I'm calling plays by the terminology we used to use back in the mid-90s. So it's a walk down memory lane for me because this is the offense I grew up in as far as a young coach and getting to coach within this offense. So I know this offense pretty doggone well. Stopping it is another issue. But the one thing we look at is this is an offense that's deliberate, but this offense is not made to play from behind. So we are going to go up there with the mindset we're going to go jet fast on offense. We get the ball. They're going to have to try to keep up with us, and they can slow it down. And that's what happened last night to Boonville. They want to slow the game down, and once you get behind, you slow the game down. All it does is help us win it faster.
Don't throw the ball much. They can throw it, but don't throw it much. I think 49 times all season long heading into last night's game.
But when they do throw it, it's usually for a long one, and it's usually something that's very effective. They are when they're talking about deliberate offense, everything looks the same, and they slip a receiver out, and he's wide open, they hit it for a long one. So, again, with the eye discipline of our defensive backs, we just can't come off our landmarks. We can't give them an easy one. In this offense, they're going to take 3 and 4. You can't give them the big play. When I first started calling offense, we ran this offense, and we used to call it famine feast. There's going to be 3 or 4 plays where you're going to get 2 or 3 yards, but you're going to get one that's going to be 16 to 18, or you're going to get one that's going to go all the way. So this is a very much that type of offense where you're going to go famine feast, and they're very patient with it. So we have to be patient as a defense not to get out of our lanes.
Congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night.
Thank you. We'll need it.
All right, Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage again at Mexico to take on the Bulldogs Friday night. Mexico features triple option, as he mentioned, as far as their offense is concerned. The quarterback is Ty Sims. Running backs are Anthony Shivers, Michael White, and Andrew Runge. And we'll see you next week on the KWOS Coaches Show.